As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily. The challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1. And it's 24-7, the world's best radio station.
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, as always, I'm excited about being here with you, having the opportunity to talk about the things that are important, not only to ourselves, but those around us. We got a lot of things we need to get done and accomplish. We have a lot of things that we need to review and discuss. And talk about where we're going and what we're going to do to get there. And we need to make sure that we're prepared to put in place the steps needed to reach our goals. So here on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, We want to talk about what we need to do as individuals to have an impact on our society, on our communities, on our cities, on our states, and on our country. We're going to be back. Give everybody time to get on the line. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection.
Anyone wanna go dance some?
This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. You know, guys, I'm labeled the show today, you know, what's on your mind? And cause there's a lot of things on my mind right now. And I have to tell you, I'm one of those people who thinks about everything. You know, there's something out there that needs my attention. And sometimes I'm surprised about what gets my attention. But there's always something out there that needs my attention. I don't know where it is. And I want to encourage you to have the same kind of mindset that something needs your attention and you need to address it. And you need to even bring it on the show to discuss it, because we need to talk about what's going on in our country. There's some amazing things going on in our country, and we need to talk about them so that we are encouraged by them, inspired by them, motivated by them. Any other words or terms you want to use that makes us get up off our feet and get busy. And I'm going to tell you that there's something real simple that I want to share with you that just amazes me. Now, I'm going to tell you that the Women's Final Four is not something that's big on my list of things that I need to be involved with. But at the same time I say that, I am so inspired by what took place in the Women's Final Four. There are so many storylines in the Women's Final Four that we just, you know, we need to speak up and say something about all the things that took place and how it impacted us. You know, it is amazing to me that we find ourselves in this unique situation where all these different African Americans and people of color stories are taking place. And so it's important that we realize that we have some things to be proud of. You know, I was so pulling for Mississippi State. I was so pulling for them because they had some amazing stories, and they were just that team that charmed you, that team that grasped you and said to you, hey, look at me. Look at what we're doing. Look at what we're trying to accomplish. And it was truly amazing to see them go out there day after day, overcoming all those different obstacles. And at the same time, you had South Carolina doing the exact same thing. Here you had a black female coach with this amazing team that she was challenging to go to the next level. And there were so many stories on that team. And then you had this unbeatable UConn who had won 111 games in a row, who was at the pinnacle of their level, at the female level, and actually had done something no team in the world had done. And so we sit back and you watch all these amazing stories and see how many amazing people of color are involved in this story from all different aspects. African-Americans on the UConn team, on the Mississippi State team, on the South Carolina team, and the black female coach at South Carolina. So you had so many amazing stories that were taking place and people trying to find their place in history. And it was just truly amazing. And, you know, we have to grow from these kind of things. And when they don't happen every day, we especially have to take advantage of learning the different intricate things that are going on with all these individuals so we can come and talk about them and encourage our kids, encourage those who are already in the high school level, on the college level, and on the professional level to see what we bring to the table. There's such magic that we bring to the table and have to be prepared to share with everybody. And instead of allowing people to believe that people of color are always doing something detrimental, we ought to bring to the table what we're doing to sparkle, to make things sparkle, to make things seem incredible for the nation. Because we had the nation's eye during this time, and there's some very happy and rejoiceful individuals. Despite the losses, these two teams take away something that they accomplished that no other team had accomplished. South Carolina grabbed the NCAA women's title, and Mississippi State beat UConn and brought an end to their 111th game. And, you know, you have a coach, a black female coach, who's won the second African-American coach to win a NCAA Final Four title. There are so many people involved in this thing that we need to be making sure that their story is being told. And so I just want to use today to talk about all kind of things that we need to talk about and discuss in order to make sure that we bring a consciousness that is positive about our existence and what we bring to the table. We're going to take another short break as we get prepared to have a beautiful show today and have an outstanding discussion.
So, what do you want to do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting. Something wrong with me. Every time I'm alone with you, you keep talking about you loving me. Hey, baby, your foreplay just blows my mind. So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers, some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, maybe I wish that you would. Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. You say there's a lesson if you wanna teach. Well, here I am, baby. Practice what you. Practice what you preach. Yeah, it's just you and me. So many things I can do to you, and so many ways I can please. Hey, 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 it's your move, yeah. Why don't you start turning down the light? Show me just what you can do. Hey, baby, I've had my share of lovers. Some of them were damn good. But if you think you can turn me out, girl, I just wish that you would. Cause you keep, oh, you just keep, no, you just keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go. There's a lesson you wanna teach. Here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Is it?
Practice what you preach.
Is it?
talking about that, all these different stories that are taking place in these women NCAA tournaments. And the reason why it's important to me to talk about the women is because the women are just as important to our society as the men. And we need to revel over the accomplishments of these women. It is just amazing to me the heart and soul and commitment these women make to their talent, to their task, to be the very best at what they're doing and what they're trying to accomplish. So when I was looking at and heard about this young lady that I have never heard about before, she had never been in the limelight before, and I just want to just take this little time to just spend some time talking about her. And she has this endearing name called Itty Bitty. And she is about 5'5", on the Mississippi State team. And she took the buzzer beater to beat UConn. Now, she will be able to be inspired by that shot, by her commitment, her dedication to beating that team and ending their 101 wins without a loss. The fact that they had won so many championships in a row, and this team had done, UConn in and of itself had done something no other team had accomplished. And we all knew at some point it would come to an end, but they didn't know it was going to come to an end this day. And Itty Bitty was out there playing her heart out, putting all her talents on the line, leaving it on the court, and she hit this buzzer beater that just made it impossible. A shot where, you know, people didn't look for that to happen. And those are the kinds of things that I think encourages so many people. There's so many young people out there looking at her and these other women who are out there doing things that nobody else had done. And we need to be inspired by these women. I don't, you know, I'm 66 years of age, and I'm inspired by them. And inspired by South Carolina State girls who had never won an NCAA championship, and their female African American coach who had all kinds of accolades, but was looking to be the first Division One, the second Division One African American to win the Final Four. And so there's so many things out there for us to talk about and discuss, but I just wanted to bring this up, is that this is a real important time when we need to read about both of these teams and read about all these stories that are involved with these teams to talk about what they have done and accomplished and what we need, how we need to be inspired by what they're doing. We got a lot of people online, and we're going to go just talking about what there is out there in the world that we need to be inspired by and what's on our minds today. Kathy, what's on your mind today? I'm just talking about the NCAA and how there were so many people of color that were doing some incredible things, and we need to just be inspired by what these young women accomplished and all the different positive stories that took place in that tournament. Are you there, Cassie? How you doing, Joy?
Hello, I'm doing great. Thank you.
And welcome to the Sunshine State.
Thank you very much.
That's right. Are you enjoying our hot weather?
Yes, I am. A little humid, but it's good to go.
Okay. Well, I know that you have your own heat to deal with out in Arizona, but tell me, what do you think the difference is?
The humidity is more of a wet heat here, and Arizona is definitely a dry heat. So it's definitely a difference. To me, it's more like a wet, sticky type of heat here. You sweat, and
mm-hmm.
in Arizona, you don't, more or less, because it's a dry heat. Actually, you
okay.
really don't. It's more penetrating type of a heat, but you know you don't sweat like you do here in Florida. So it's humidity
okay.
here when air is more dry.
Well, we're talking about what's on your mind today, Joyce, I want to just ask you, did you listen to the stories of these women, Mississippi State and South Carolina State, and how many women of color were involved in this historic moment with this team, and how young people ought to be inspired by the efforts of these women and the things that they accomplished during this tournament?
Well, what I did see, I didn't hear about the story. I'm assuming maybe I was flying during that time, but what I did catch was the victory that they all hugged. And to me, I knew that it was great because I saw so many sisters that was out there. I mean, it's unreal. But that goes to show you, when you work hard, anything can happen. And it's on any given day, someone can be defeated on any given day. So don't you ever think that a team is so powerful, that they're so good and the coach is so outstanding. But if you're hungry enough and you in sync on any given day, you can be defeated. So very good victory to them. A lot of determination, a lot of composure, and a lot of hungriness on their part to really be successful. Very good.
And I wish that there was a way that we could bottle that and just give it to our young people to let them see. This young lady, Morgan Williams, who was on the Mississippi State team, her father had passed away, and her coach was literally just good to her, and they had a great relationship. And she was trying to do all she could to bring that championship back to Mississippi State. And so it was just amazing that there were so many underlying stories. Here you had two teams who had never won the NCAA championship, who were battling to win it for their team, and how important it was for their state. And just to believe, I mean, can you imagine, South Carolina had their male team in the finals, is in the finals as well as their female team. And so these kids, you know, that state is really working hard to get recognition for their teams, and they inspire their players. And so this is kind of inspiration that America needs to just ingest and be inspired that people of color are bringing things to the table, are making real serious things happen, and we need to be proud of what we're doing. Andre, what are your thoughts about all these amazing different stories that are taking place during the tournament?
Well, marvelous Monday to everyone, and I think it provides, again, a sense of hope, which is what each of us are describing. The fact that in most cases, the state of Mississippi is not viewed as a positive state for many reasons, and the same thing about South Carolina. So while some of these players may or may not be from the state, it does give a person of average, or at least viewed as average or even below average, a sense of hope. Joy said it well. You can be defeated on any given day or time. Nothing is automatic, but it does give a sense of encouragement and a sense of hope, and you know, for people to have their lives changed. What an exciting time to see again the commitment, the dedication, and even the teamness after the, you know, the game was over. Just the unity and love that was shown.
And what's amazing too, Andre and Joyce, is just what you guys said. These two teams probably didn't get the best of the United States has in terms of quality players, but they got the kind of players that were willing to commit themselves, and look how the team turned out. So what you can say to people is, you know, just because the first tier of players always seem to go to the name team, that there are players that are going to these other schools who are willing to make a statement and who are willing to grow into the type of leadership between the group that they have to make a difference. The fact that a school like Mississippi State could unseat UConn, who has been for the last 4 to 5 years the top of the women's league, and then here this team from Mississippi, from nowhere, who probably has a tough time recruiting players, but has recruited the kind of players that over, you know, took down this giant. And so we have to be, you know, you have to tell these stories so that people don't, when they go to Mississippi, when they go to South Carolina, that they don't think they're on that second level, that they can rise to the height of their talent and be the best in the country. Because right now, South Carolina and Mississippi, those teams are the best in the country, and they've proven it. You know, and that's what we have to inspire people to do, is to keep on, you know, this show is about inspiring yourself and encouraging yourself to do what it takes to make a difference. Right, Joyce?
Absolutely. It only goes to show you, it reminds me of the book, The Little Engine That Could. You see, The Little Engine That Could. These schools represent those little engines that they didn't think that could rise above and reach their ultimate success. So on any given day, don't ever underestimate the talent that you have, because you are amongst the best. You can be as good as you want to be. So no one is better than you if you have that type of mentality. And I think that's what they took to go into that and say, hey, look, let's give it all we got. Let's leave it out on the floor. And when you do that, look how successful you can be, just being the little team that could.
And when you see these girls and these women of color who commit themselves to their sport and commit themselves to their studies so that they can stay in school, this is what should inspire the nation to recognize that we can only be great when we are committed to unifying ourselves beyond the race issue. Right, RJ? We have to get beyond the skin issue and recognize the talents of all people.
Well, absolutely. And to that point, both of these states may be very well considered as racist states by many, and yet they have, you know, taken the extra effort to secure talent. And, you know, that's been going on for a long time. People will venture to say that, you know, even you know, colleges and universities that are well known, no matter what, they seek the best talent, and in most cases, minorities are just great athletes, so they want to win, so they invest in it. But you made a very valid point where they may not necessarily have the top of the selection, if you would, as it relates to what most people would consider skills, yet they had what was most important. And that was hard, determination, and dedication. And that's what prevailed. And, again, knocked out teams that were, you know, surely thought that it would be a lot easier to reach the number one, number two spot, and it did not occur.
And that's what's so amazing. I mean, that, you know, Mississippi State going up against UConn, I'm sure the last 4 years, every team that went up against them wanted to be the team to bring them down. And there were a lot of different quality teams out there, but Mississippi State was the one to do it. And to have this young lady, Morgan Williams, who had lost her father and had gotten to the point where this white gentleman, her coach, had brought her into his heart and just allowed her to use her talent and encourage her. See, that's what the key to this is. It's not always about what is inside of me, but it's what is in others who brings out what is inside of you. And that's why it's important for us to interact with each other. We have to interact with each other. We have to rely on each other and be encouraged by each other to do great things. So that's why we can't allow just something as arbitrary as what color you're born as to be the deciding factor as to who you are as an individual. Right, Joyce?
Right. You're absolutely right. I was in transition. I didn't hear exactly what you said, but you have to skip me on this go around. I'm sorry.
Okay, Audrey, you heard that about what it is. You know, we can't allow skin color to determine who we are as an individual or in leadership.
And, you know, that goes back to some of the conversations that we've had as it relates to the family values, the community taking stock in each other, and, you know, truly investing in making sure that a person knows that they're worthy and they're capable of doing. And it goes beyond the skin color, that's for sure. And in most cases, I would think that, you know, you mentioned that the young lady, you know, her father passing. When we have critical events or life-changing events in our lives, in most cases, it makes us better. It don't feel like it at the moment. It's truly a trial. It's truly a tribulation, and we just feel overwhelmed. But those are the times that we, you know, we really do determine what we're capable of. When I was coming up, I heard that iron sharpened iron. So what that means is, and what I received that to mean is that you're not going to be the best unless you compete against the best. Because when you compete against the best, it's pushing you to get out of your comfort zone. It's pushing you to give it all that you have. And I don't know if UConn may have just felt that they didn't have to give it all that they have, but I think you mentioned, you know, the fact that you have to be hungry for some things. If you want something, you have to really want it. No matter what it looks like, you're going to go for it, and that's what occurred. But it's not determined by one component of who you are. And we know that race is only a fraction of what makes us who we are. You know, it's so many components. God created us in such a magnificent way. We have so many components that make us unique, and race is only one. So surely that should not be a determining factor on any situation.
Well, I see that Regina just got online. Regina, what is it like right now in South Carolina with what you all have accomplished? And can you give me some of the heartfelt feelings that you're feeling as a result of your women's team winning the NCAA championship?
Hold on. Let's see. As a result of our women winning the championship, we're in a very celebratory mood right now. In fact, we were supposed to all head to our Coliseum at 4, and then the weather got so bad till they changed it to 8, and then the weather still looks pretty ominous, so they postponed it. But the parade is Sunday at 3:00. The girls are absolutely wonderful girls on that team. Dawn Staley is a mother hen. Those young ladies are truly young ladies. Education comes first. Social media is a no-no. And Asia just wanted to win that for Dawn because of Dawn's personality and because of how Dawn just was so honest and forthright with her during the recruiting process. Asia was born in August. My daughter was born in January. Asia's grandfather helped to put me through school to become a teacher when I went back to school. Her dad and her uncle, they're like brothers to me, and they're very humble people. And Asia has that spirit. She has her mother's spirit. Asia's mother is a very strong woman. And while Roscoe, her father, was teaching her the fine art of basketball, Asia's mother was teaching her the fine art of people. And it shows. Now, a very interesting thing is I was looking at the news just now, and they did some interviews with the people in her neighborhood. And one of the folk around the corner said, "Oh, they're a mighty fine family, mighty fine. They're not troublemakers or nothing."
And that's what's so amazing is that there's so many stories that we can pull out of this tournament about these different teams that can inspire our nation. And so that, you know, when we always are on the show about the kind of things that we need to make changes about, these are the kinds of things that we need to recreate, is these stories of how these kids are being challenged and who are committed to dedicating themselves to these ominous challenges and overcoming. I mean,
but
when
James,
I look
did
at
you hear, did you hear what I said when I said, even though she's achieved all of this, these Caucasian neighbors are still surprised that it's a good family and they're not, quote unquote, troublemakers?
Right.
So as much as we
do,
that's
what I'm saying. We still have to overcome that color issue.
Yes.
That racist bias issue.
Yes, I just texted her mom, and I said, "Well, I'm awfully glad to know that you and Roscoe and Asia are not troublemakers down there in the country."
And that's because that's what they identify us with, and that's what, you know, not realizing the vast majority of people of color are just hardworking Americans who want to strive for the very best that they bring to the table.
I mean, an extremely hardworking family. I mean, she went to a private school, but they had to pay for that private school. They had to pay because
right.
they knew the title. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. It's great though.
We're
happy here.
Let's go to a break, and we'll be right back after and continue our conversation.
Drumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words. Killing me softly with his song, killing me softly with his song, telling my whole life with his words, killing me softly.
But, you know, it goes through from generation to generation, and it's part of what the expectation is. And until something happens that will cause them to evaluate their views and positions, they continue to generate that as part of their expectation, as part of their values. So it's, you know, sometimes when we talk about stereotypes and all, we recognize that some people, once they get to know you, they'll say something like, well, this race does such and such. But if you are of that race, they'll say, well, I'm not talking about you. You're an exception. Well, am I really an exception, or is it that you have had a chance to know me? So that's the whole key. I think a lack of getting to know people before they continue to manifest that expectation in their family of having that view. And, again, not taking the extra steps to get to know a person for who they are. And, you know, a race doesn't define any one person, but it's not until you take the step to get to know a person for who he or she is, in which we'll be able to move forward.
And you're so right. It's a shame that every time that white America sees excellence, it wants to make out like that's something that is unique or not normal for people of color. Joyce, what is your thoughts about Audrey saying how people want, when they see excellence, they want to somehow play it down, if that's not something that's normal in the African-American community? Are you there, Joyce? Regina, what are your thoughts about what Audrey said about somehow or another they want to think that when we do display excellence, that somehow or another is something that's unique and not normal in the African-American community?
I agree exactly with what Joyce, with what Audrey has said. She put it very eloquently. That's exactly the way it is. They don't get a chance to know you. And then once they get to know you, then all of a sudden you're not like the rest of them. So you're okay. And that was the thing tonight. I didn't know that my daughter caught it when the man said, they're a very nice family. You know, they're not troublemakers or nothing. And my mouth just flew open. Right there.
And the vast majority. And the vast majority of our young people who are out there being inspired by their families or by their communities or by coaches or by, you know, any number of different peers or leadership in our country are not troublemakers. We're out there striving to allow our talents, our traits, to rise to the height of the country's ceiling, you know, and we don't want to be inhibited by the biases that exist across our country. And so it is very disheartening to see these kids do these kinds of things and not get the accolades that they deserve. All of them deserve so much for what they have accomplished and what they have brought to the table at each of these universities as well as to us as a country. And I just hope that I continue to get inspired and see these people, because many of these women deserve to be at the top of at the top of whatever their traits will let them go to, top of whatever their character will let them aspire to, and not be held down by the color of their skin.
But, you know, they're not being held.
These are
student athletes. They have to maintain a certain grade point average. They have to be in tutoring, and they have to be very controlled and structured, extremely controlled and extremely structured in order to achieve in the classroom and on the court. So whatever these folk are thinking about them, as long as they stay in the University of South Carolina, they prove these folk wrong. But a lot of these people don't have the mentality to understand that these girls have to study, these boys, and they have to maintain a certain GPA, or they are going to be put out of the program and lose scholarships. And they prove these folk in South Carolina wrong every time they step on that court, because if they did not deserve to be out there, they would be sitting at home watching on television.
You're so right. You know, and what amazes me, Audrey, what amazes me is that, you know, there was a time these schools are filled with people of color. These teams are filled with people of color. But you remember there was a time when they didn't even want us at the school. And so we can just inspire kids to recognize that now you're the stars at these schools. You're the one that walks around on campus and respected and cheered for the kinds of things that you're accomplishing and the rewards that you're bringing to the school. Understand that South Carolina and Mississippi State had never won or never been the final two teams in the NCAA tournament. So these people brought them to the pinnacle of this competition.
And you know, that's
right,
the
right?
James.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, Regina.
Regina?
No, I said that was a thought, James. That was a thought. I mean, I never put it in that perspective as to where, how far we have come, how far we've come from Mississippi and South Carolina.
You're exactly
and
right.
Then,
and go ahead.
And now they're not using our girls. They're not using them. As far as I'm concerned, we're using the system because these girls have to maintain in order to stay there.
Well, James, you mentioned earlier, you know, what will it take for people to really just view people for who they are and the value of it? One thing about, I'll say, corporate America, and corporate America in this case applies to the university, they want to be winners. And, you know, it's power in having this recognition, yes, and it'll generate additional income now that help their recruiting efforts. You know, a lot goes along with that. So when you put money and power there, people are more willing to look at really, well, what will it take for us to win? And they will not let the color of a person's skin turn them from being the winners that they're capable of being. Because it's impacting their power and that's impacting their money. And you're right, Regina. If we teach our children to take advantage of every opportunity presented to us and use it to your benefit, the school is going to get the recognition and additional rights as it relates to recruiting and all. But you're right, that education is something that those individuals will not be allowed to have taken away from them. So continue. I'm just excited. And Robin Roberts on the Today Show, she's from Mississippi, and you understand that. But she went there, and she was just genuinely so proud of them. And that within itself, I think we wanted to make sure that she was proud of them. And it's a wonderful story. And like I said, so many implications on it. Sometimes we kind of overlook all that's implied.
And as I listened to the two of you, recognize that this benefits everybody in those two states. Of course, the boys basketball team is going to get better. For Mississippi State, the boys team will get better recruits. The football team will get better recruits. More students will want to come there. The same in South Carolina. They already have Clemson. But now the state of South Carolina will be recruiting better athletes, better students as a result of these girls and their boys' team. This infects the whole state. Everybody in Mississippi has to look at people of color differently based on the way this team performs. Everybody in the state of South Carolina has to look differently at color and based on the way these teams are performing. They know who the stars of these teams are. They're the ones who are bringing them this recognition. And across our country, these girls being spotlighted has to infect us as a nation?
Well, you know, the
George,
end of...
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think not only as a nation, but particularly young ladies and black African-American, period. It makes you feel good about yourself. It makes the young people think twice and make them carry themselves in a different way, make them be hungry. When they step on the floor, they know what they can do. They know what their potentials are. And that within themselves should let them know, don't let nobody make you feel or make you think that you less than what they are. That's key. No team. I think that a lot of these teams that really got knocked out of the Final Four, as well as the female team, the UConn team, they really thought they was untouchable. But that goes to show you, wait a minute. We got some fine sisters here. They're dedicated. They're hungry. And they're going to show you who can rise up to the top.
Regina, you were going to add something to some of your statements.
Oh, I was going to say that I don't know if you all know, but there was a boycott on our state, and the NCAA refused to touch our state as long as the Confederate flag was flying. As soon as the Confederate flag came down, they scheduled the games. Last year they had a few. This year they had more, and people started allowing their children to actually come to our state to play. And as a result of that, we've had USC, we've had Clemson, and we had Coastal Carolina, which was won the baseball championship last year.
Mm.
So we have three nationally ranked teams in our state as a result of that flag coming down.
And now
it lets you know that we can accomplish a lot when we work together. When we're working together and making sure that we're taking the steps necessary to change the mindset of those that are in our country or those who are in leadership, we need to make sure that as a people, we keep telling this story until it infects all the high schools. You know, I just look at, you know, you all make me sit back and think, you know, think about the high schools in these two states that are going to be impacted. You know, when they see these young people out there, just like in the Olympics, when you see somebody like yourself winning the gold medal, buys you to win the gold medal. Audrey, it's infectious, isn't it? I mean, everything we see is going to impact all the way down to middle school.
That's true. You're exactly right, because everyone will want to associate with this positive, and it's an opportunity to, again, move a person from feeling unworthy to now being inspired to realize that, yes, this can indeed happen to me. And what a great story to tell about South Carolina, Regina. I was not aware of all the titles that they're holding. Tremendous strides, because it wasn't always the case that we would be able to play on schools representing the state of Mississippi and the state of South Carolina.
And these things, and again, it has to be, the fans have to be impacted. Regina, how do you think the fans can't cheer for these girls and not recognize the quality of who they are? I mean, how can the majority of these fans be out there waving and singing and yelling and screaming and then not see or respect the race of these girls?
You know, the school that Asia went to was is a predominantly white private school. Those folk, because of the personality that she had, and because she was a very embracing young lady, they followed her. The day that she signed with the University of South Carolina, you know, I was there, and the gym was packed, and it looked like pepper and a sea of salt. As she went on to the University of South Carolina, in the beginning, you could actually throw up, you know, very sparse, very few people. Now they sell out the university, our Coliseum, our arena here. And that's to Dawn Staley's favor, an African-American basketball coach at a predominantly white school. Dawn Staley, and she will be the coach for the U.S. women's Olympic team this year.
Let me ask you, how long has she been the coach there in South Carolina?
9 years. And she had to build her program. And our boys coach, Frank Martin, he had to build his program, and they were in the Final Four this year. And
there
he's Cuban,
so
and his wife is African American. He's Cuban, and his
so
wife
many
is African American.
New schools. It seems to be so many of these new schools coming up in the ranks and introducing themselves to the top echelon. It's just amazing, and it goes to show you how much talent we have across the nation. That these schools are finding themselves in these unique situations. To be the first of their universities to get to this level.
You know, I just think it has to, and at some point we have to appreciate our heritage, but we have to also realize that we've got to work together as a nation or as a community and work together to reach these lofty goals. And I can see that is what is happening at the University of South Carolina, at least, you know, in the athletics department. They realize that they've got to work together, be they black, white, purple, or red.
Joyce, what do you think the impact will be to Mississippi State having these girls reach to this level and get all this publicity that they've gotten? You being from Mississippi, what impact will that have on the different communities throughout Mississippi? Are you there, Joyce?
It shows a different type of pride, a different type of success story that can be brought to Mississippi, where Mississippi can be seen in a different light. It can be seen as a unity. You know, the flip side of that is that, you know, the prejudice that a lot of people say and think now, it does not exist in Mississippi. And Mississippi is showing you that in so many ways. So what you think that the old system was, they're trying to show you that it's a new Mississippi. It's a new different South that you're looking at, a new South Carolina. North Carolina recently had to change the way a stance as to how they looked at things in order to bring the NCAA back to their state, because this year the Final Four is in Arizona, which it should be in North Carolina. But North Carolina refused to do certain things as far as I think restrooms, how they looked at I forgot what you call it.
Transition.
So that's what brought the Final Four to Arizona, my state. So they're going to take a cue from what they saw from South Carolina, believe me, Virginia, and they did that just recently. So they went back to the old way to addressing things in order for them to get the NCAA to look at them again. So with that being said about Mississippi, hopefully this can trickle down also to the way that the government – looked at, and I mean law enforcement, all of that has a lot to do with what you saw the winners do. Watch, you know, people are going to start looking at people different, dressing them different, giving them a different way of how they look at them and their civil rights. So I think it's going to be a positive effect on the state of Mississippi and South Carolina as well.
Yeah, because one of the things is these old states can't continue to remain seen the same way if they want to progress. You know, you can't have that same image over your state without knowing that it's going to cost you something. And certainly North Carolina saw what the cost was and have reverted back on what they were thinking about. So, RJ, what are your thoughts about these states recognizing that they have to have a positive image for all people?
Well, Joyce was on point when she states they do recognize that. And they understand that if they don't make a change, they'll be losing not only revenue, but just opportunity for people to come there in the future. So they understand business, that's for sure. So this is something that they will definitely take heed to and make those necessary changes.
Yeah, because you can't recruit students to a state that feel that they're not welcome. So certainly if you want the high talent that is in people of color, they have to feel that they're welcome to your school and that they'll have a good experience. And, Regina, it looks like South Carolina State, or excuse me, I'm saying South Carolina State because I went to South Carolina State, but it looks like South Carolina is trying to put forth a better face so that they can welcome different students to their state.
Well, the University of South Carolina has a wonderful president, President Pastides. He is just phenomenal. I really have a lot of respect for him. And as I was telling someone who called and they were seeking a donation, because I am a graduate of the University of South Carolina, and the first thing he said was, Why did you go to the university? I said, well, you want me to be very honest with you? I said, let me be honest. I don't need to ask you. I went to the University of South Carolina because my mom made me go. I had two full scholarships to Hampton and to Virginia Union. But because my mom had to walk on the other side of the street and could not step foot onto the University of South Carolina, she made it a promise. She promised herself that her child would step foot on the University of South Carolina campus. And they had to pay for me to go there. So times have really, really changed. And the more they change, the more they stay the same, and we must remain vigilant so that we can make sure that we don't get so cocky and forget the struggles that it took to get us to where we are.
You're so right. We have to recognize that we cannot let up off the throttle, and we have to continue to take advantage of the opportunities that are available to us and recognize that there are people out there working to take us back backwards to the past. Guys, we're going to take our last break, and we're going to come back and ask you for your final word for this evening.
Longer. We are making a difference. We have a long way to go, but on those occasions when it seems like things are all going wrong, let us remember this moment and know that we are making progress, but let us continue to do the right thing, not only for ourselves, but the legacy of the future that's to follow.
You're so right. We have so much to be proud of, and it's important that we make sure that we others know what we have to be proud of, and that we're not just sitting back and not telling our stories. Our stories must be told, and we must share the stories of these and highlights of these beautiful African-American women who are out there making things happen and who are changing the course of history because of their commitment and dedication to their sport and to their university. And so we are certainly proud of the state of Mississippi and the state of South Carolina that are putting these young ladies on stage and allowing them to let their talents change the course of history. It is so important. So we want to thank all of you who are out there in the sound of my voice. We want to thank you for those who continue to listen to the show, and we want you to be a part of the show. So, again, call in to 657-383-0309. Let your voices be heard on Thoughts, Love, and Reflection because we want you to know that you are part of making this show what it is. And those of you who would like to be co-hosts, give me a call at 407-394-9819 and let's discuss what it is that you think the world needs to hear in order to be moving forward. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Take care and see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. ain't got no reason to come.
I was wondering, thank you to come by. I thought about her a couple times. She stay around here, got
you
back there.
No, she stay well, Colonial.
So she just be coming to see that
one. Yeah.
And, yeah, you go.
About the door when you go out.